And welcome to EAA Radio. Good morning, everyone. You are listening to the voice of EAA. I am Magneto Mel with Attitude Adjustment, and Amy Labota is here with me.
Yes, I am this morning.
Third day. Here we are, midweek.
Midweek, exactly. The fog has broken on the day. I've had breakfast, the Women in Aviation breakfast. By now, the picture should have been taken.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, a sea of purple.
A sea of purple. It's always nice to see a nice turnout for that picture and see the photo later. So
it is. But we have
we'll
more.
You.
What do we have today?
We do. We have another guest with us, and we are joined by Dan Johnson, who's president and chairman of the board of directors for Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being here with you folks.
It's great to have you. So tell us a little bit about the Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association and what you guys are all about.
Well, it was founded in 1982, so long before there were light sport aircraft. In other words, we kind of think we were waiting in place, and FAA finally got around to making the right rule.
That was almost a decade ago, though, and things have really heated up since then.
They certainly have, and so we're celebrating this week here at AirVenture, 10 years since the FAA made their grand announcement after more than 10 years of effort to create that rule. It was quite a thing to get through, and I've congratulated FAA in another venue, and I'll do it again here. They were very courageous to stick their necks way out and do something that had not been done internationally or in the U.S. ever, and it has had quite a success to it. There is just a profusion of new airplanes and lots of new pilots enjoying them.
Well, the thing about it that probably created the most pop is that light sport aircraft do not require a pilot medical certificate to fly. Is that not correct?
That is correct, but it's not inclusive. It's not just light sport aircraft. There are experimental amateur-built aircraft. There are some standard category aircraft that also do not require that if they meet the parameters, that is the weight, speed, and other benchmark items that define that class of airplanes. Then, if you have any other license, higher than sport pilot, private, commercial, ATP, so on, you can exercise the privileges of sport pilot and fly without a medical. So that's been a great boon, but there's lots of other good reasons to fly these aircraft. For example, low fuel use, wide cabins, low noise signatures, things like that are of interest.
And avionics.
And some marvelous avionics. Because these aircraft are certified under a different system, they can use equipment that conventional type certified Part 23, that is, aircraft, have to go through a laborious process before they can install these things. Whereas a light sport aircraft manufacturer under a self-declarative system can just say, well, we like that new thing. We'll test it. We'll meet the standards with it, and then we can offer it. And it can happen quickly. And today, if you look in any light sport aircraft, you'll virtually see them dominated by glass cockpits or digital screens.
So, if someone is an aviation enthusiast and is looking to up that enthusiasm to an actual aviation participant and thinking about whether or not to get their private, what are some of the reasons why you might want to consider getting, you know, your recreational and going with the light sport as opposed to the full-blown private pilot?
When FAA created the rule, it's generally a bit of a tongue twister, a long word. It's sport pilot, light sport aircraft. And the reason why it's those five words is the last part is the airplane. The first part is a new pilot certificate that they offered called sport pilot that can take as few as 12 hours in certain types of light sport aircraft to get a license. And in a conventional fixed-wing three-axis airplane, it's about 20 hours. And just as with private, which generally runs more than the 40 required there, it depends on what you do and where you fly and what kind of aircraft. You can do it in 20 hours. It has been done many times in just 20, but most of the time it'll take 25 or 30. What that will translate to is one-third to one-half the cost of acquiring a private pilot certificate. And that means you can get in, get some instant gratification, take up a passenger, and continue your learning process, which we all know goes on forever once you start flying airplanes.
So can I treat that as a bit of a predecessor to my private if I'd like to?
Absolutely, Mel. All hours acquired on acquiring a sport pilot certificate count toward any future certificate, all of them. So there's no negative to starting with sport pilot. Therefore, we think That is the new starting point. Whether people accept that or not, why would you go get a commercial right away? You'd get a private first.
Right.
Well, why would you get a private first when you can get a sport pilot first? And then if you want to progress, great. You can do more in aviation, but that may be your destination. That may be all you want to do is fly a light little aircraft around your local region or something and stay out of Class B airspace, in which case you can do that with your sport pilot certificate. Although, with a mere logbook sign-off, after some more instruction, you can enter Class B airspace and do other things. It's quite a revolutionary system, and that's why I congratulate FAA on sticking their neck way out there.
So it feels a bit like an associate degree, perhaps, on the way to a bachelor's.
Yeah, before, something like that, right. You've acquired some real knowledge. You don't have it all. You never have it all. And if you want to go further, fine. But for many people, an associate degree is all they need to exercise a career, and the same thing with the pilot side.
Let's talk a little bit about this medical aspect, though, because that's something slightly different. We're not, it's light sport and sport pilot ratings were not designed to let anybody fly. You have to be, don't you have to be able to get a driver's license?
Exactly right, Amy. You use a driver's license in lieu of a medical certificate. And a lot of folks who go get their driver's license do so when they're young. They're anxious to get out there and drive. Well, they're usually very healthy then. They're not really aware that there are some requirements. And if you have certain medical conditions, you can't get a driver's license either. But the logic was this, that if you have a driver's license and you can drive a 30,000-pound Class A motorhome down the road at 80 miles an hour, you probably have the qualifications needed to fly a light aircraft.
Well, yeah, like my Kit Fox, which is, what, 600 pounds empty, right?
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because they're lighter aircraft and they don't fly as fast, those were both envisioned in the first place when they talked about simple aircraft flying in simple airspace.
They don't fly as fast, they don't fly as high.
Right.
Altitude is important, too.
If you're using the sport pilot certificate, then you are limited to 10,000 feet. However, you can fly a light sport in other ways if you have an advanced license. If you have a private, commercial, ATP, or one of those, you can fly above 10,000 feet, and the aircraft will easily do it. It's a that's a limitation of the pilot certificate, not the aircraft.
Are there any range limitations?
There are no range limitations. Unlike the rec pilot and primary category, which put some, I thought, strange limitations on how far you could fly. You could fly a bigger aircraft, you just couldn't fly it anywhere in any great distance. With a light sport, anywhere in the United States, and in fact, with a sport pilot certificate, you can fly it over to the Bahamas, too. They were the first country other than the U.S. to allow the sport pilot certificate. The light sport aircraft side has gone global. It's all over the place, but different pilot licenses are required in different countries.
Yeah. Certainly, I understand that. Now, you have a website called bydanjohnson.com where you really get into detail. You drill right down, and you don't miss a new type or a new manufacturer when they come out. I'm impressed with the website. I've picked around all over it. You want to tell people a little bit about that?
Sure. There's about 2,000 pages of information on there, so there's plenty to read. Virtually all of it is freely available. You can go anywhere and look anywhere. And yes, we have decided that we would keep just a very, very tight focus on just light sport and light aircraft, light kits, ultralights, that kind of thing. And I think in that space, we pretty much got it all, both in written and video format.
And where can people find it?
So that's bydanjohnson.com. It's a byline thing. So it's bydanjohnson.com. Hopefully you don't need to have the name spelled. And if you want to find more information about our Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association, that's even easier. LAMA.BZ. And between those two, you should be able to find out just about everything you want to know in the light aircraft realm.
And fabulous.
Are you guys on the field anywhere if someone wants to come by and chat with you while they're here?
The best way to find us would be at that wonderful display that EAA has hosted this year right out near Boeing Plaza. It's called the 10-Year Celebration of Light Sport Aircraft and Sport Pilot, and it's right where you just about can't miss it, in the heart of AirVenture. So we thank EAA for extending that opportunity. 17 airplanes to look at, one of every kind virtually. Go there, have a look.
We'll have to come check that out.
Please do.
Well, we thank you very much for being with us here today.
My pleasure.
You are listening to, we've been talking with Dan Johnson, the president and chairman of the board of directors for the Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association, here on EAA Radio, the voice of EAA.